Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Folks, summer and sports are in full swing. Mentioned over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a do-it-yourself project with Lowe's, a bar cart in my house. It's finished. Go to my Twitter account. Get your hands dirty. Go to Lowe's.com. Check it out. Hashtag Lowe's. Show us your transformations with all your do-it-yourself projects. In the last 20, 25 years, very few coaches in college football are as good as Bob Stoops, 10-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, 18 years at Oklahoma, national championship, widely respected pro ranks, college ranks. He's got a pretty darn good life. He works less frequently now, and God love him for that. Bob is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So I had Urban Meyer on a couple days ago. We were talking about spring football. And, you know, when I looked at it, I thought to myself, okay, you play in January, February, a couple games in March, take spring off, and then go back in the fall camp, you're fine. But, Bob, a lot of people I'm talking to say if you play in the spring, you can't play in the fall. Is that how you see it?
I don't really see it that way. Let's face it. Today's world has brought us a lot of challenges. So any way that you could figure it out and work through it, I think you can. I would be in that camp. You could play in the early spring, even the late winter, early spring. You don't do spring ball. You have a lighter spring summer leading into the fall. I think you can do it. That would be my opinion.
It's interesting. Ohio State, their season's over, and they were a real national championship contender, preseason number one. They have a quarterback who's just a terrific player, Justin Fields. And, you know, I was saying this earlier, Bob, you know, A, he could get hurt. B, what if a bunch of his teammates opt for the NFL? It's not the same team. His guard, Wyatt Davis, maybe the best guard in college football. By the way, the weather's lousy. What if his numbers come down, his stock drops? What if you're Justin Fields? What do you do? I mean, I don't think it's that easy of a choice, is it?
Well, I think everybody's going to understand the circumstances that he's playing under. If that's the case, again, we're in unprecedented times. I mean, you've got to be able to work through it best you can. That's all you can do. And if a guy decides he doesn't want to play, then don't play. But if everyone else is playing, you do the best you can to manage a tough situation. And everybody's going to understand you are in a difficult situation. Anybody evaluating his tape is going to say, hey, he's playing in a blizzard. That's a different situation. Everybody will take that into consideration.
What would concern you if you're coaching right now? We got COVID. I've looked at Harbaugh's numbers and Saban's numbers in terms of testing. They've had very few positive tests. Like Oklahoma, there's a lot of revenue here. You can create nice protocols, daily testing, and I don't see many positive tests at these big football powers. But if you were coaching, would there be how challenging would it be? Would there be something that would concern you about playing with this?
Sure. It's just the players policing themselves and understanding the situation they're in, which requires them to be a lot more diligent and staying safe, staying away from the big parties, doing things that can make you susceptible to getting something. So I think as much as anything, it's young people being able to be able to handle the circumstances that they're in. But I will say this, I'm in everybody's camp that says these players are a lot better off with us on our campus, with our doctors, with our medical teams, with our protocols than they are anywhere else.
Bob, what concerns me most, COVID concerns me, but it concerns me that a lot of young college football players, they're not superstars. They're not Trevor Lawrence. You know, they're not Brian Bosworth, okay? They're going into their senior year. They're getting some carries at Oklahoma, but they need that senior year, and they don't come from a great, wealthy background. They can change their life going to Oklahoma, having a big senior year, getting drafted in the third round, ending up a Dallas Cowboy or a Baltimore Raven. You recruited kids for years, for 20 years at Oklahoma, and I don't know their backgrounds, but it worries me that some of these kids, this was their 4 months to literally change their life, and it's done. T- take me to that space and how many times you saw that.
Well, I don't think there's any question. You're exactly right. And I think that's why the overwhelming, and maybe I don't know that, but it seems to me, from what I hear, these players want to play, or at least the majority of them and most of these conferences want to play. And that's why, because they put in all this work. They want to go out and play, you know, adhere to all the protocols, be safe, be smart the best you can. But, you know, but go play. They want to. And you're absolutely right that a lot of these young players, these older players that are graduating, have opportunities to be drafted and to move on into the professional ranks. And some of them are going to miss it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Around this country, there's all kind of people that are, you know, that are having, that are being adversely affected, you know, by this whole situation. So it's been difficult for everybody, not just football players.
I love college football, and my primary complaint is always been, this sport makes $2 billion a year just in TV revenue, and it doesn't have a CEO. That a lot of college sports are wonderful, but they feel like hobbies. This is a business. How can you be a $2 billion a year business, and you got this conference playing 9 conference games, this 8, some have, you know, I love Alabama, but they won't go on the road to play out of conference. I don't want my coach having that much influence on the schedule. Bob, is it time that this sport hired a CEO, privatize it perhaps from the rest of the athletic department? It just feels like to me it's too big to be treated like every other college sport.
Well, the only difference I would say to you, Colin, is in the NFL, they're all the same. Everybody's doing the same things. Money's the same. Facilities the same, fewer players. Around college, there's a big difference from league to league, you know, where they are in this part, what part of the country. You know, it's not all colleges are the same. So I would say that's been the why, because some, you know, some colleges and some universities, their priorities are different than others. And it's always going to be that way. And there's such a big number of them. It's easy to manage maybe just 32 NFL football teams that are all in the, you know, the budget's the same, the money's the same, everything's the same. Everything's not the same in college. In college football especially, every university's different parts of the country. So that's why maybe it's not just as easy to have one governing body, because we're about more than just playing football. Regardless of what anyone says, our players diligently go to school and are in academics. And again, some conferences, academics may be more important, or, you know, they may value it more so than another school, and they're not going to trade that value. So again, to me, that's the biggest reason why it isn't the same as like an NFL, have one commissioner, everybody do the same thing. This is different. You know, these universities all are so different in so many different ways that it's not that easy.
Finally, I've been tough on Baker Mayfield, but I do think he's going to have a really good year. I think kids grow. I think if I'd have been 23 years old and been an NFL quarterback, I'd have done some things I regret. But you just didn't know about him when I did him. He walked on at Oklahoma. So there, that part I love. He's got a chip on his shoulder a mile long. I do worry about maturity, Bob. In the NFL, this is every game's on television, and every mistake is microscope. Every, you know, the light is bright. When he came to Oklahoma, did you ever see a little bit and you thought, you know, Baker, bring it down a little bit. You're going to be the quarterback at Oklahoma. Are you concerned at all about the next 3 or 4 years for him?
No, not at all. He's an incredibly smart, bright guy. You're right. He's got a chip the size of a boulder on his shoulder, always has. And you got to admit, it has served him well.
Yeah.
But you're right. As time goes, and now he's in the NFL, and, you know, you get to a certain age and a certain level of experience, you know, now you pass through some of that. I don't think he'll ever pass through that toughness and that chip to whatever degree. I do believe he'll manage it, you know, in a better way. And in a way that he doesn't have to answer so many questions. But if the guy's on your team and in your locker room, you absolutely love him, and you wouldn't trade him for anybody.
It's great seeing you again. You look fantastic. You've done the COVID thing well. I hope your wife, your kids are happy, and congrats on all your success, Bob.
I appreciate it, Colin. Good to be with you again.
All right, the great Bob Stoops. Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, as we know, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys didn't get a contract extension done ahead of this season, but Dak is still confident that he will be with Dallas for a long time.
Business is business, and once I'm in the locker room and part of what's going on now, I don't focus too much about the future, just more about today. And so with that being said, I'm excited as hell to be a Dallas Cowboy. I've been a fan of this organization and been a fan of this program for years. I love every bit of the opportunity and the platform that I get to be the quarterback here. I love this team. I'm excited about what we have, what we can do and accomplish this year. So no frustration as far as that. Once again, I believe something will get done. And with my hopes, I believe I'll be a Dallas Cowboy for the rest of my career.
Very, very political. Very, very
easy. Is he the best at quarterback speak?
He's right up there with Eli Manning and Derek Jeter.
Eli Manning was very good.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, very good at quarterback speak. Yes, A-plus
Do you take that in college? Where do the guys get that?
I think they do actually try to teach them quarterback speak. All players, I'm sure, go through some kind of, you know, media training once you get to the NFL. You know, things you can use, little tools you can use when doing interviews and you're talking about things that are, you know, to avoid giving us the sound bites that we love. But he's very good at it. And I, for one, as much as I love a great big personality and live for that and love interesting, I really enjoy good quarterback speak because I just know how frustrating it is to the business. So it's funny to me, like when someone can seamlessly move into the game.
I mean, I think it's a thing.
I mean,
listen, it may be 8% of the deal, but it's a really important 8% that my quarterback can go in front of 40 reporters and give you people nothing
and
every
talk
time.
For the entire to talk until the reporters
Manning,
are exhausted and say nothing. The
Eli Manning,
time.
15 years New York, 9 newspapers, radio station, didn't give him nothing for his whole career.
It's amazing. I mean, he's making $31.4 million under the franchise tag.
He'll
so
do
he's,
fine.
He's been paid this year, and I do think that they'll end up getting a deal done, and I'm very interested to see what Mike McCarthy is going to do with Dak this year. Again, they're kind of one of those teams, I'm with you, like, as much as I hate the preseason, one or two games probably would have served them.
There are teams that really could have used a preseason. Baltimore didn't need one. Kansas City doesn't. Philadelphia doesn't.
No. Dolphins, Jets, Cincinnati, Giants, Cowboys, Washington.
Yeah.
A few preseason games. So the Lakers could possibly face the Blazers in the first round of the playoffs. The Blazers are playing today. And while it seems like Portland would be the worst possible opponent for the Lakers, Kyle Kuzma actually feels confident in that matchup.
No, it's not a worst-case scenario. I think that anytime you can be tested early in the playoffs is going to help you out in other rounds. So obviously them getting the eighth seed would be, a very tough matchup for us. I don't think it's worst case scenario because, you know, we're war ready. We're ready to play anybody.
Well, Kuzma's confident.
We'll see.
I think it would be a great first round series, which is new for us as NBA fans. Cause usually the first round of the playoffs
stink.
Is terrible.
Didn't LeBron go like
sweeps or gentlemen sweeps
7 years without losing a game in the first round or something like that?
I mean, he's never lost a first round series, which is why I don't think he's going to start now. I understand the Blazers are a tough matchup. I understand they're playing amazing. Dame is incredible. I think it'll be a great first round series. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that LeBron and the Lakers are getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs this year.
They could use Avery Bradley.
They sure could. And they could use Rondo. And I get it. They're blasting offense in the bubble and all that stuff. But I'm not prepared to bail on LeBron.
If LeBron loses first round, I get no LeBron. I get no Zion. And if the Rockets get bounced because of Westbrook, I get no Harden Westbrook. I need storylines.
Well, yeah, I'm partly rooting for that. But listen, Dame and the Blazers have been incredible. It's not taking anything away from them. Portland is an incredible team. It's LeBron James. I'm not prepared to say that he's going to get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, bubble or no bubble.
I saw one of his friends yesterday.
Yeah?
Good friend of LeBron. I got some really good LeBron info. Not really.
Got some scoops?
Didn't give me anything.
So finally, we were just talking about this recently. Ty Lue is an assistant coach for the Clippers right now, but he might not be for much longer. According to Chris Mannix, Lue is expected to be the leading candidate for several head coaching jobs this offseason. He listed the Nets, the Pelicans, the Rockets, and the 76ers as teams that could be on the market for a new head coach once this season is over. He has not been head coach since being fired by Cleveland early in the 2018-19 season. He was up for the Lakers job, reportedly rejected an offer to coach the Lakers this last summer, which a lot of us felt like he was the right person for that job. Frank Vogel's not an incredible job.
He's very
job
strong as a coach. He'll push back on everybody.
So I think that the place I'd like to see him is with the Nets.
Yeah, because they have stars.
They have stars. He's clearly accomplished at coaching stars and balancing that. He's worked with Kyrie. I think that's a great situation for him. Ty Lue is one of those coaches that I think deserves another opportunity to be a head coach in the league.
Last time I talked to him, he yelled at me. He called me at my house. He yelled at me.
Sometimes we need yelled at.
I said something on the air, and he's like, somebody said, "It's Ty Lue. Call me back." I was like, honey, I got to go into a room and get yelled at by Ty Lue.
You got to go take that call. Yeah. Did it end well, at least?
Yeah, no, he was funny. I'm like, listen, coach, I have big opinions, but I always give people a chance to yell at me. That's why I bring all the people that I rip on my show. So you got to be fair. If a guy wants to rip me, come rip me.
Ty's a good guy.
He was a good guy.
I'm sure he's not so mad at you. But I think the Nets would be – I think that would be wise by the Nets to do, and I think it would be a great situation for Ty Lue.
I should tell you what he was mad about.
Are you going to?
Yeah. So I said on the air, I said, you know, I think LeBron may have had some problems with Ty Lue. I said, it wasn't always rosy. And then he called me and he said, we got along great. I love LeBron. And I said, there was never problems. He said, well, he's the biggest basketball star in the world. He's not always the easiest. Like, when you coach the best player in the world, you have days you probably want to, you know, strangle each other.
I wouldn't assume that they had a bad
relationship. No, he just said, you can't coach at the time. He said, he goes, you can't coach a Kobe, a LeBron, a Michael. He goes, this is your
man. We're not going to get along with anyone every single day. Of course, and then that's added when you're coaching them. You're having to critique them and push them. Like, there's going to be some tension there every once in a while.
But he was funny. He was, you know when a guy's mad at you, but he's kind of got a pleasant voice about it? He's not screaming.
Right.
He's like, hey,
scolding you.
You got to be real on this. Let's come straight with this. You're wrong on this. And I'm like, all right, just fire away at me.
He would do a great job with the Nets. No, I'm with you, with what you were saying the other day. The NBA has to do a better job of not only promoting assistants that have been with organizations for a long time, are clearly ready for an opportunity to be a head coach, and bringing some guys up from college as well. The carousel after a while, it's like, what are you trying to prove with this? It's just a comfort move.
NFL brings new guys in constantly. Like, give me some new blood.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
News. So the NBA
news.
Is actually going to hand out awards for the bubble, which listen, man, this is a sacrifice, right? Like, so the NBA has tried to make this as good as they can. They got some golfing. They got fishing. They got music. By the way, after this weekend, 8 teams go home. So you're down to 14 teams from 22. And after the first round, you got 8 more or 2 more teams, 4 more teams. Am I right there? 1, 2, 3. No, you got 8 more teams out. My math isn't great today. It goes 22 to 16. Okay. So the NBA is, they're trying to keep this thing lively. And so they're going to hand out bubble awards, which will be a fun night for the guys. So I'll give you my bubble awards. It is really interesting to see who flourished in the bubble. There's some really big surprises. I mean, good God, what about Phoenix? The hell? Devin Booker was like as good as anybody in the bubble. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's great to have you in. You know, we love giving out awards. We're a very giving show, very charitable show. And so the NBA, tomorrow's the last day of the seeding for the NBA bubble. Monday's the playoffs. I think they've done a really remarkable job. No positive tests. Optics are good. Nobody yet caught sneaking anybody into the bubble. Although the Seahawks have a cornerback who didn't. He just got
had a cornerback.
They got rid of him. Seahawks just found a kid sneaking in, a woman, to the Seahawks camp, and she was dressed as a player.
Yeah. Tom Pelissero just tweeted it. They cut Kemba Sivirans. this week. He was caught on video trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel, according to sources. And a clear message that there will be no visitors, putting the team at risk for corona during this time. And she was apparently wearing Seahawks gear. That did not work.
Not great. All right, here we go. Here are our NBA bubble awards, which they're actually handing out.
Yes. All right. Rookie of the bubble, Tyler Hero, John Morant, Michael Porter Jr., or Zion Williamson?
I'm going to go with a kid I've been waiting to watch play for 2 years, Michael Porter Jr. He was a great recruit, then had some injuries. We've all been waiting to see him. He's supposed to be a remarkable talent. Well, the kid can score. He is an absolutely natural scorer. 22 a game, led all rookies in the bubble scoring, and he's a really nice shooter. 42% shooter from three-point range, which is the modern NBA. Nuggets got a good one. Also, he had a game, first NBA rookie ever, league history, to have 30 points, 15 boards, and 5 three-pointers in the game, did against the Suns. So he's all that in the bag of chips, and Denver's got Jokic and Jamal Murray and a very good staff and a good scouting department, and now they've got their next star. So keep your eye on Denver for the next 4 and 5 years in this league.
Bright future.
Yeah.
The most disappointing team, 76ers, the Lakers, or the Pelicans?
You know, this is hardly a shock. The most disappointing team in the bubble is going to officially be the Philadelphia 76ers. They were outscored by 21 points in the fourth quarter. You'd think with all this talent, you could excuse it if they were a little slow out of the gate. They're a bad fourth quarter team in the bubble. They had a losing record in the bubble. Ben Simmons is out indefinitely. And all we heard was, oh, the chemistry. You know, this time apart, the chemistry will be great. And it wasn't great. And they still can't play together and blow this thing up. Let the two stars go their separate ways.
It's very difficult. The best play. Booker's game winner, Doncic's leg pass, Kuzma's game winner, or the Lillard bounce three?
I'm going to go the Suns' Devin Booker. Here it is.
They bring the double at Booker. Book on the spin. Fires for the win! Got it!
It's gorgeous.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, now you do.
Very fun moment. Although that leg pass was
pretty clever.
Ridiculous. All right. Most surprising team. The Blazers, the Nets, the Spurs, or the Phoenix Suns?
There's a couple of them here, but we don't talk about them a lot. So let's give it to the Suns, who were 7-0 in the bubble. This has been not always the best run organization, but you got to give it. You know what? They could have mailed it in. 7-0, best point differential. Devin Booker averaged 31 in the bubble. Monty Williams, congrats to you. He'll probably win Coach of the Year in the bubble. So it's a nice story. It's a really good NBA town. I've gone to many Suns games through the years. Now they got a superstar, and they just got to draft better and get somebody beside him.
All right, the most surprising player, Carmelo Anthony, Skinny Mello, Michael Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., or T.J. Warren?
You know, I didn't know much about T.J. Warren. I think it's T.J. Warren. He played at NC State. I don't even remember him in college. And he was like a crazy scoring machine. 3 consecutive games with 30-plus points in the bubble. He never had consecutive 30-point games in his career. So this dude took the 5 months. Unlike Chris Middleton, who said, I didn't grab a ball, this guy worked it. Like, this guy totally worked it. His 2 highest scoring games of his life both came in the bubble. He had 53 points against the Sixers and 39 against the Lakers. So tip of the cap to T.J. Warren, who took his pandemic time seriously.
All right, the best bubble concept. Camera angles, jersey slogans, play-in game, or the virtual fans? This is tough.
I'm going to go virtual fans. I think this is really brilliant.
I liked it, too. I did not think it was going to look good at first. Like
that's Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
There was Lil Wayne was in there.
Chris Bosh.
There was a goat. There was at one point. I think it looks great. And I also think this is, for a lot of people, this was great. If you could tell your friends, I'm going to be in the NBA game tonight on television. I thought this was, you know, you and I have talked about this. There's an old saying that Basketball thinks of it first, football gets it right, and baseball makes the most money off it. Basketball's been very good through the years of coming up with new concepts. Now, some aren't great. Remember the jerseys with the sleeves and the new ball? But you know what? Every few years, they roll it out. I thought this was brilliant.
I like it, too. All right, free trip to Florida award. The Kings, the Pelicans, or the Wizards?
Bradley Beal, would you please leave this organization? The Wizards are pathetic. 0-7 in the bubble. Not even really competitive. 0-8? Oh, they just did? They beat the Celtics today. Okay, tip of the cap. They beat the Celtics backups today. And they had lost five of their first seven games by, like, double digits. So
it's not a strong showing.
The closest game they had was getting whacked by the Nets. Yeah, the Nets don't even have their talent. They were competitive.
They got to go to Disney, though.
Bradley Beal, go find another team.
All right, We Didn't Care Award goes to the Bucks, the Clippers, or the Lakers. This is tough.
Well, I'll go Clippers. They had so many players miss games. They were outscored by 26 points in the first quarter. That was second worst in the bubble. So it's not like they came with any intensity. Kawhi Leonard missed a game. Paul George missed a game. Lou Williams missed two. Patrick Beverley missed four. Montrezl Harrell missed seven. To me, what they're really all about is stay healthy. This is all about brand play in Los Angeles. You don't see many Clipper hats. This is like the Mets. When the Mets mattered in New York, the Yankees stunk, and the Mets were not only good, they won the World Series. And for a time, they shifted the sentiment in New York. When you're an underdog in a city, you got to win a World Series. The Mets, for about 3 years, were the talk of New York. They had stars. They won a World Series. Winning and beating the Lakers in the playoffs is not changing anything. They have to win a title, and they haven't been into the regular season from day one of the regular season. They have never cared. Just get in, get healthy, let's go.
Best non-basketball story. Companions, Fishing, The Rooms, or Wings?
This is an easy one. Wings.
Yeah, that was the best one.
Hot Wings Williams or Lap Dance Lou?
Lemon Pepper Lou.
He went to a strip club, Magic City, which is supposed to be fantastic. Don't know. And he said he was going there to get dinner, and then there was some reports that
conflicting reports.
A side of lap dances. Yeah, I will say this: the food looks terrific. It really does. Congratulations to Magic City on all the free pub.
Are you now that this story has happened? Would you eat wings from Magic City?
Oh, absolutely. I love wings. Absolutely.
But you would have them delivered to you? You wouldn't actually go?
Well, if my wife went with me.
Yeah, of course. All right. MVP of the bubble. Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, James Harden, or Damian Lillard?
Easy one. Dame, because he went into the bubble. He had to carry his team. Okay, like these are playoff games for them. Like, they have to get into the bubble. He had massive pressure. 37 points a game, a 61-point game against the Mavericks, 5-2 in the bubble, shooting 42.5% three-point percentage, which is the highest. And it's not just that he's scoring. These are huge games, and C.J. McCollum has been hurt. You know, Carmelo Anthony is like 36 years old. They've got some bigs. Nurkic is back, but his performances, they were in close games. Like, his points were not winning games. They were like, they're games that are going to, if they beat Brooklyn today, they make the playoffs because of him. And I think he's such an unbelievable talent. He just went to Weber State, and he's in Portland, so nobody pays attention to him. I mean, we've all known he's good for years, but I think in the bubble we're like, holy hell.
He's just been tremendous to watch. He's just an unbelievable hooper.
Good stuff. Look at that. That's fake, by the way. It looks real.
It does look real.
It's just all, you know, the world's fake.
Looks
right
like
now.
The virtual fans.
Yeah. Summer and sports are in full swing. Go to my Twitter account. I built from Lowe's. Go to Lowe's.com. All your do-it-yourself projects. Now you're at home doing nothing. And I'm not even a do-it-yourself guy all the time. Lowe's.com. Show us your transformations. I built a bar cart with a tray with a big C on it. Made me feel very powerful. Speak for Yourself is around the corner. We are done for today in LA. It's The Herd.